Dumpster Divas, welcome to another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister,
Kix Hamlet. We are here to dive into the reality TV that made us, well, the garbage we are.
I know, that's right. And expect like a mix of throwback recaps as well as chats about what we are still watching today.
Tom, are you ready to get into it?
Let's go. How would you describe that class? Like, they're not they're adults, but in my mind, they're kids. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're like,
you mean like the class of like the kids on the show?
No, like Housewives is like a tier on top, right? And then mm-hmm. the middle class to me is like
VPR.
Summer House VPR, Southern Charm, now The Valley. The lower class to me is like Below Deck, because I think a lot of times they're like babies. They are like fully 18 years old.
They're always going to be the freshmen.
Right. But like,
I don't know.
What do you call that? Like that group of adults that are our age.
I guess they're the sophomore class.
That's what I was going to say, the sophomore class, but they've been on television for like 15 years.
But I feel like, Summer House is always going to feel like the sophomores, mm-hmm. and then VPR is always going to feel like the juniors that are like really excited to be seniors.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's always those aggro juniors that are like, and next year we'll be seniors. Like, that's very like VPR energy to me.
Agreed.
And Summer House is like the lower classmen that are like excited to be lower classmen.
And like, Southern Charm is like the private Catholic school down the road that you don't really talk to.
Yeah, they don't interface with any of the other schools.
No.
But like, you know that like Paige and Hannah like do the school announcements as sophomores, and they're like, make sure to turn in your field trip slips by 3 o'clock on Tuesday, and they like think they're really cool.
And like Lindsay's whole storyline at the high school is that she'll get like the hottest date for senior prom, but like never can quite lock it in. And Carl is like, one day I'll grow up. And like, I totally agree. We're really onto something,
Lindsay,
here.
Well, I think we are. And I also think that Lindsay is like the kind of person who, I don't know if at your school you had like student directed like plays or musicals, but we did.
Uh-huh.
And the upperclassmen were always like on such a fucking power trip when they were on the board for those like shows.
Yep.
They would be like, you guys, seriously, if you don't get this next like round, like we're going to end rehearsal early, and I'm fucking serious about that. And like, that's like Lindsay's energy. Like she's the person who's on the board for a student musical and is like a fucking tyrant.
You are absolutely right. Like you know, those memes of the trend of like, they run a Sephora like the Navy or
yes.
something like that. Lindsay's would be like, runs the ensemble of a musical like the Navy.
Yes, literally. She'd be like, window, yes. You're not in your window. I'm not going to ask you again.
Because sadly, she doesn't have I booked the main role in the show energy. She has I never get the main role, so I'm going to take my dance captain role that I just skip because they feel bad for me. Extremely yeah. seriously.
And I'm going to yell at people. And then Carl is like the hot jock kid who like decides to do theater like on a whim. But because he's like the hottest, like new shiny new toy straight man in the theater department, he gets like all the leads, whether he's talented or not. And like Lindsay during rehearsals are like, oh my God, Carl, stop. Like she never yells at him, but she yep. screams at everybody else. And then Hannah and Paige are in the back row, like giggling, like giggly squad. And she's like, you guys, seriously, stop it. We open next week. Tech is tomorrow.
If you want to stay after and work on the dance in the parking lot, I'm happy to help.
And then she I'm just happy screams, to help you, but this,
you.
And she's doing a little like talking gesture. This needs us out.
Needs us out.
Needs us out. That's one
it's
word.
One word.
Needs
yeah.
us out.
Needs us out. But you know that Carl used to take my spin classes.
I always forget that you had an era as a spin instructor.
It really was
bass,
an era. Because it was like,
turn the gear.
It's Tom here. Tom on the mic. Well, who's on the mic today? We have Hannah Brown with us today. Hi, everyone. This is Hannah. Oh. Hannah's been here 5,000 times. But we haven't had her on in a minute to talk about Bravo specifically. And I needed to chat about these, I guess, what we're calling the sophomore class of Bravo, the kiddos.
The kiddos, thank you so much for having me, Tom. I'm so honored to be back. And like, I'm honored to be back, especially because these shows are back as well. Like, we are so back, you guys.
We did have a good The Valley. I'm in a way that I never thought I'd be in.
I feel like I'm levitating. Like my eyes could roll back into my head and I could levitate to the ceiling because like what this show has injected into me is like a spirit and an energy that like I didn't even know I needed,
and
but I really needed it.
And I want to make it clear, it is hot garbage. Like it
That's why it's so good.
But that I think VPR is just a little too big for its britches. Like it needs to be hot garbage. Like I liked the, we got some love. We got a little hot garbage this week actually though, because I did like Katie fucking Max. That like reminds me of old VPR.
Yes.
Which that's, I love. I'm like, that's why, guys, this is why we watch the show. And then Lala storms out and she's like, you guys, this is so beneath us. And it's like, okay, well, this is the show.
It's like literally not, babe. It's literally not. I mean, yeah, the show was built on sexual scandals. So
completely.
I love.
The show's premise was Sheena, who had sex with Eddie Cibrian.
It was Sheena. Then it was like Jax cheating on Stassi with someone in Vegas and then fucking Laura Lee. And then it was Kristen fucking Jax. And then, I mean, like, we need like a pearl clutchy sexual scandal moment. And I love the fact that Katie Maloney was like, oops, I had sex with Max.
I struggle with Katie here. So, okay. So we're going to talk VPR. We're going to talk the Valley. And I think we're going to touch a little bit on Summer House. We're already talking about VPR. So I would love to just dive into that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Katie this season, I go in waves because sometimes I've never been a Katie girl. And I don't think anyone's really ever been a Katie girl.
No, totally.
But I am liking her stone cold lesbian presence on this season. I'm liking it a lot. But it did bother me that she wouldn't just like own up to the fact that she hooked up with Max in this episode. And she did appear to be a bit inebriated. She was like,
I did what?
Who can if I did Max?
The fact that she has a podcast makes me laugh so hard because I'm like, babe, it's an auditory medium. And like, whether she's like a little drunk or a little stoned, she's always like slurring slightly. She's like, what is going to do?
She has a vocal pattern to her that sometimes can be like inaudible. Like she doesn't make it easy to understand her sentences or train of thought. Like sometimes after she says a sentence and you think about it, you're like, oh, wait. She actually just made a really good point, but the way she says it is like, Tom Sandoval is someone who I would not deny, bad person. And you're like, wait, what did she say? Oh, she said he's a narcissist. I guess you're right. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, 10 minutes later, you're like, oh, she totally hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, when she was like reading him at that kitchen scene last episode, it was actually a good read, but I needed Lindsay Hubbard there kind of like asking for another line reading like at the High School Musical auditions.
Totally. Valerie Cherish, give her another take.
Give her another take.
No, I agree. I think Katie has been sort of like snorlaxing her way through the season, just sort of like chilling. But I do think these last couple weeks, like when she got into it with Lala at astrology night and then since then, I feel like she's like stepped it up as far as like kind of getting in there and getting messy. And I will say what is so dark to me, but is incredible TV, is the pleasure that these women who are in their 30s and 40s take in making another woman feel terrible about herself and alienating her. And because I think people who watch Bravo often think in black and white terms and fail to understand a gray area. Both things can be true at once. I think that that is true. And also I'm so activated by Joe. I dislike everything about her. She irritates me. So I'm going to wear a backwards hat. I'm going to put my fingers in my ears because I'm just overstimulated. And her quirky little voices, I hate everything about her. But also I think it's embarrassing that these women are like, yeah, let's make her feel bad to the point where she runs out crying. And I'm sorry, but the faces that Ariana is making, like she is a seventh grader. She needs to grow up.
Yeah, Ariana's tough.
I don't like her this season. I'm sorry, you guys.
I saw your Instagram and I agreed.
And so, Anne just wanted to get ready for Taylor Swift. And she's like, okay, cool, Anne. Love that. I'm about to leave. Is Tom downstairs? Grow up. Just fucking walk out of your house or move.
So are you, we know each other pretty well at this point because we've been doing this type of thing for a while and we speak outside of here. But something I don't know about you is, are you a grudge holder? Like, are you someone who can lean into like a vengeance side of things? Because I'm deeply not. And so I struggle mm-hmm. connecting sometimes when people need to experience that like frustration or anger.
Yeah. You know what? It's really interesting. I don't know. I think it's like situational for me because sometimes like I'm someone who kind of digs my heels in until I don't feel like it anymore. Mm-hmm. And usually I get to forgiveness in this phase of my life, by the way, this therapized phase of my life.
Sure.
I get to forgiveness faster, mostly because to me, it's just a lot less energy. And I don't really like moving through the world mm-hmm. with like animosity between me and someone else. Now I understand that Ariana is coming off of a 10-year relationship with Tom and he really fucked her over. But I think what's bothering me about the whole season is that no one is acknowledging, no one's breaking the fourth wall. Like I think Sheena wanting to quote be friends with Tom is more so driven by, and granted Sheena is insufferable and a flip flopper and whatever.
I love her.
But we love her for it. We need her to be that way. That's why she's
there. Yeah.
But I think it's also what she's not seeing on camera is we are on a show, all of us together, and I don't want to feel anxiety filming with Tom until the end of time, because at the end of the day, I'm coming here to collect a paycheck to provide for my child. Okay.
Right. It's what so they're like, not saying. All of them are.
That's
not
what they're
saying.
Not saying. And why I think Ariana is being so fucking unreasonable, because I'm like, babe, if that's how you feel, then you should fucking leave the show, because other people like they're, I think everyone on the show acknowledges that this is it for them. Their livelihood relies on this show. Ariana said on a previous reunion, the Zoom reunion, I am a bad person, or like, I'm untalented. I'm a piece of shit. That's why I'm on this show. She has said that. So it's like, I think they all kind of feel that way at this point. So let Ariana film with Tom. I mean, sorry, let Sheena film with Tom and collect her paycheck without having an anxiety attack.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I'm similar to you in the grudge holding vengeance of it all. And I brought that up because I think those of us who, and I'm not saying one's right or wrong, but those of us who maybe want to release conflict from our lives, look mm-hmm. at Ariana or look at people like that. And for me, I get extremely frustrated when I have a friend who is, one of my dearest friends, love her so much. She, and this is something we like work through in our relationship. She is someone who like holds on to things. Not with me necessarily, but with like others. And I'm someone who releases. And so I'll be like, why are we still like worrying about this? Like this mm-hmm. was years ago. And she's there. And they'll just be like, but it doesn't it make you so mad still? And it's like, no, like I don't think about it. Like I've released that. Like obviously I don't forget about the shit that people do to me, but like honestly, sometimes I do, which is another fault of mine. Like that I'll be like, oh yeah, you were shady or you were mean that one time. So maybe I shouldn't trust you like that. But like, I just like to release conflict because life is like too short to hold on to so much anger. And anger is such a consuming emotion.
Yeah.
And it takes so much work to be angry. Like it is an exhausting, whenever you experience like ultimate anger, you feel hungover. Like it's awful. So I just don't like to have that in my life. And it's hard to watch her sit with not only these people around her, but a whole camera crew. And she's sitting and producers, and there are people listening to them talking back in like Video Village. Like there's a whole group of people and she's just sitting there silent.
And making stank faces, a petulant 13-year-old girl.
And once again, I don't blame her. I don't blame her for not being in the space to be over Tom. It's still pretty recent, but like, I think I would remove myself from the situation if this was happening to me. I guess it's just hard to watch someone just sit in anger. She's not acting on it. Like it would be more interesting if she was lashing out.
Exactly. It's not entertaining to watch her just like sit there being upset the entire season, because I'm like, okay, babe, like I understand that that's where you're at, but also you did choose to come back for the show and you can't like make it about, you can't make other cast members feel bad for putting on a show, because you are not with what you're doing right now. Like this is getting redundant. It's boring. It's not entertaining. I'm sorry. And also it's like, I'm the kind of person who's like, yes, I need to move through my rage. Like, there will be a stretch of months where I'm like, I fucking hate this person. And then one day I wake up and I'm just like, whatever. I don't want to see them, but I'm not going to think about them anymore. But like, also, like, why not choose the peace of just like getting your own fucking apartment? Can we talk about the
It's so
skewers that
okay.
her dog ate?
And you and I are both dog owners and pet owners, and
Yes.
like dogs are food motivated. Most pets are food motivated. Cats are not as much, but like dogs are fully food motivated. And I don't know about Monty is his name, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like Russell, like we don't give Russell any people food, and because we don't want him like especially like when you're just like in a place where in New York, I'm just eating off of a coffee table most of the time. Like I don't want him sitting at the coffee table just like staring at my food and crying.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
And so that's one thing about this that's crazy to me is that they have not figured out a way to keep this dog from just eating like human food, which then makes me think that they're just like feeding it like a ton of stuff.
Yes.
So that's one thing that was a red flag to me. Like the dog just shouldn't feel like it needs to go through your stuff. And then second of all, you need to throw your food away.
Okay.
You
You're
need
not a
to
teenager.
throw your
You're an
food
adult.
away.
You need to throw your food away. And I'm sorry, I understand this. Sometimes when I'm in a blind rage, I do this thing where I'm really just mad at myself and I look for fucking anyone else to blame for my fuck up. I've done that before
1,000%
where
done it.
I blame some external thing
I
when
did it
really
at
I
work
know I'm at
recently.
fault. Yeah, like we all do it, okay?
Yes.
But I'm like, babe, you are not the victim in this scenario. I'm so sorry. You are the one who has chosen not to leave your house, which is fine. That's your right, okay? But like, if you know that this dog gets into fucking anything she can find, why on God's green earth would you decide, or why in God's name, whatever, would you decide to like leave your dirty container in your
And
room,
sleep
like, and
next
think
to it.
and sleep next to it, knowing that your dumbass ex-boyfriend, for whatever reason, could technically open the door, and you refuse to talk to him and send him a text and say, "Hey, there's shit in my room. Don't go in there because of Maya." You won't be an adult and text him, and maybe Anne just like couldn't be the liaison in that moment. But it's like there were so many things she could have done to prevent this, and now you're gonna like blame Tom. Like, I'm sorry, that's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Throw your food away.
At the same time, it is also crazy that she's at the vet with their dog taking pieces of wood out of its throat and he's doing like sound therapy in their living room. It is hilarious that he was like, this is a great time for me to do this like screaming therapy in the living room. That part did make me absolutely lol. That those two
It's
things are happening simultaneously.
like a Christopher Guest movie. Like it feels
Completely.
like a parody of itself. When he did that sound therapy and he was like, whoa, 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 like garbling and screaming, I was like, and his little painted toesies,
I can't.
how has this man ever had sex with anyone?
He looks so. He may. I had a
He
dark.
embarrasses me.
He
Watching him
embarrasses me.
embarrasses me.
I had a dark moment when he was in Tahoe where I did kind of think he looked hot.
Oh, don't worry. Once we get to the valley, I'm going to one up you on that.
Okay, great. 'Cause I can't wait. But there's something about his like alcohol-free eyeballs that like are a little hotter. And then also he's like gotten kind of like muscular in a way that he wasn't before. But then like there's moments like this past episode where he shows up to a bowling alley in like a Kyle Richards brunch hat, doing like hoedown dances. And I'm like, okay, well, this is a no for me.
The Michael Jackson dance moves at the bowling. Also, two things about Tom Sandoval that I realized within the last 24 hours that I'd like to share with you and the listeners.
Okay.
One, I think part of the reason he's so disgusting to me is because he strikes me as someone who loves doing an impression of the Joker. And like,
1,000 Heath
nothing
Ledger,
gives
like, are you
me,
Heath Ledger's Joker? I'm assuming, yeah, because I think that was a formative movie for him.
yes. Like, there is like a like school of like, skinny white guys who are quote actors, floppy air quote, using that term generously, who are like, let's put a smile on that face. And you're like, ew, ew. Like, it's my biggest ick is if a guy does an impression of the Joker and like sees himself in Heath Ledger's Joker. Second, I think Tom Sandoval is someone who would be so excited to play Puck in A Midsummer Night's Dream. And I just think, as the type of actor that I am, if someone is like extremely excited to play Puck and like perch on the set and be like, oh, I'm fucking out. Like, we're not going to be friends. We're not going to be friends.
Absolutely right. He would be a Puck.
And he would like paint his toesies and like put body glitter on and be like,
positive he's absolutely said, like, I just like really like being in my body on stage.
Yes. Like, yes. And you know, whoever plays Puck is always like the kid who's like obsessed with like movement class and mask class and like rapier dagger and like is just like the biggest theater nerd to the point where it's like irritating to like the rest of us. Yeah.
That's a perfect read on him. That's exactly right? Who he was in that bowling alley. He was in Puck drag.
He was in Puck mode for sure.
Wait, can we go back to Joe? I want to talk more about Joe.
She's also a Puck girl, by the way. She's in a full place of Puck.
Well, Joe,
all the time.
Joe is full Kathy Rigsby, like Peter Pan. She's absolutely taken on that role.
1,000,000%
And been in character backstage.
Yeah. Oh, she doesn't. She's full method, baby. She does not break character.
She does not write character. And one character she's still not broken is the role of being a hairdresser? Question mark.
The way that Sheena was like, show off your work. Show off your brains. Why would you want to wear a hat? Show off your brains. When you're a hairdresser. I was like, you are.
I was crying laughing beyond. At that because she was reading her because she's got awful hair.
Awful. Fried to shit. Meanwhile, Sheena's dressed like a slutty Jetson and I loved every second.
And she's like, this is going to be crazy because I haven't been drinking. I haven't been drinking.
Yeah. And I'm then like, she did like a little hoochie dance by the pool. I was like, ooh,
like,
okay.
Exhausting. No, Joe. No, is Joe. I struggle with people like Joe because.
Same.
Is that her personality, or did she watch like one too many episodes of Always Sunny in Philadelphia and be like,
I was going to say all that, yeah, but yeah.
Like, did she come about to this personality that she's just like this trucker girl that's a hairdresser that lives in Studio City? It's just like a lot of conflicting ideas here. And then she also agreed to go on a television show that she had to have known something about. And the women are awful to her. And it's like, well, no shit, girl.
Yeah.
What did you expect?
I think I understand why Ariana's annoyed with her, by the way, where she's like, no, she's not like just some sweetie. Because there is nothing more fucking infuriating than being able to spot a pick-me girl who has brainwashed all the straight men in her life into thinking she's just this sweetie. And then therefore makes all of the girls who have an actual read on her look like the psycho bitches. And the straights are like, why are you guys being so mean? It's like, it's because we can fucking tell what she's doing. We know her game, like woman to woman. And I think like for Joe to sidle up to Katie and be like, thinking of you, like you're getting divorced. And then to go fuck Tom and like move in with him, Tom Schwartz. And then also to like, go to Ariana and Tom's for Thanksgiving, knowing that Tom was cheating on her and like pose with her in a picture. It is fucked up. So
it
like
is fucked up. I don't want to be around her.
They don't want to be around her. I don't think they owe her anything. And I think Joe has some big balls like walking into these situations with Schwartz, like beep boop bop bop, and expecting them all to be like, hey girl, like what show do you think you're on? Like Care Bears?
No, these women are gonna you're like fuck buddies. Ex-wife is right there.
And they're all like the leads on this show. You think you're going to look good?
No.
And also like, and like be treated well. And also I'm like, I don't, wait, shoot. I had a thought and it escapeth. I basically just like the fact that she's coming into these situations in these like shitty outfits with this stupid Tom hat. Like she gives them so much material to like come for her for. Like,
yeah.
And sitting like pretzel style in her confessional because she's just like a down to earth girl. I'm like, I hate everything about her.
I can't. You're not down to earth.
There's like a darkness in me. Like I would like to make her cry. Like that's not lovely to say.
There's
but,
a
like,
phone. No. I know what I see. It
triggers
too.
Me.
Well, it people like that who are they come across. They try to tell you that they're like she's someone who'd be like, I'm empathic. I listen to feelings. I'm just like. like, let's stare at each other and I'm really, really like, feel your feelings. And it's like, you think you know how the world works and you put on this persona that you were like the most like wonderful bubblegum beautiful
evolved
person. In the end, yeah, you're a phony ass bitch. Yes. Like, you're being phony. Like, who's being real is the other girls who are like, why are you here?
Yes.
Like, that's real. And I have the same, I got the same question. Why are you here? Because it's just, it, you, in what world would you ever enter into a friend group like that?
It's so strange.
And she's getting played by Schwartz. Sorry, girl.
Okay. I just posted this to my Instagram too, but I want to say, mm-hmm, I think that Schwartz is secretly in love with Lala.
I saw you post that. Now, I can kind of see that, honestly.
I think that, like,
I have another version of that in the valley. But yes, I know what you mean.
I think that Schwartz is so like enamored by like Lala's like sobriety and like she's so beautiful and like blah blah blah. He's like, you are the most beautiful person I've ever seen, platonically.
It's so
it's
weird.
It's like my Blake Lively voice, but like deeper. But like, I think Joe is like Delulu enough to think like, oh, well, like he has sex with me sometimes. And he calls me Joseph. So I think he's in love with me. And I really want like Lala to date Schwartz and like lead him around by a leash and like power dom him, which like Katie tried to do, but like unsuccessfully, because I don't think she was confident enough in the relationship to really like pull it off.
Yeah.
But I think Lala could.
I agree that I think she could, but I just don't. I think that she probably wants to get like fucked.
I want better for her.
And Tom can't lay that down.
That's so true.
There's going to be a sexual issue there. And I think Tom also has some hygienic boundaries.
True.
That was a read. To be told you have hygienic boundaries.
Wait, you mean like he doesn't shower enough?
Yeah, like he, like there would be a lot of parts of him probably smell because they don't get a full clean.
Like he's not washing his waist crack down.
Yeah.
In his taint.
Just a heads up. Like if you're listening and you haven't done that lately, like just letting the water run down your body isn't cleaning anything.
No, you have to like go to town.
Yeah. Like I get all up in there every time, once and or twice a day, depending on my plans.
Yeah.
Things are really in that blank.
Your agenda.
Right. No, but Joe, she's entertaining to me, but she makes me feel deeply uncomfortable. And I also like don't feel that she's totally like stable emotionally and that this show is going to ruin her.
I agree.
And it worries me. Like, I just don't think it's like she's made for prime time.
I don't know why. Yeah, to your point, I don't know why she's here, because I'm like, you're a good reality star for all the wrong reasons. Like, yeah, you're a good reality star.
The world is laughing at you.
We all like eviscerating you from the comforts of our home and mm-hmm. watching other people do it as well. You're not like giving one-liners. You're not giving looks. Mm-mm. Like, I don't really know how this woman found herself on this show or like what she's hoping to accomplish being here.
I you know? Promise she's not garnering any hair clients.
That's for damn sure. I mean, come on.
Can you please one more time just say show off your work, Kashina?
Show off your work. Why are you wearing a hat? Show off your work. The braids are cute. Put in your ponytail now. Don't wear a hat. And then they like take her hat and play like keep away.
Mean.
Like
that was mean.
On the fucking playground. I mean, it was so dark. As someone who was bullied like a lot of my life, I was like, oh no. But again, like, why did she come?
And it's funny. I'm sure people wear what she wore to Hotel Ziggy all the time. But VPR is filming. The girls are in their best Fashion Nova. Okay, so you need to like kind of show up a little more.
Yeah. Like, their finest Fashion Nova. Their like finest Lala looks like thing.
Yeah, Lala looks like a sexy baby. And Tom mm-hmm. Sandoval is in a zoot suit. Like, you got to kind of, like, elevate a little bit.
No, but that's the thing. She acts like she's, like, somehow above it. Like, everything she wears is like, oh, this old thing, got it from the bin at TJ Maxx. And not, like, the good bin at TJ Maxx. Like, no, the shitty bin at TJ Maxx.
I think you're being kind to think she's going to TJ's.
That's true. She's not a Maxinista.
No, that That tea is Massimo from the 2008 collection.
Not 2008 Massimo. You're so right.
She's a Target girl. And I'm a Target girl sometimes, but not maybe for all the fashions.
But yeah, I'm not really there for the fashions.
No.
Each their own.
I would like to kind of hop over maybe like a zip code over to the Valley, the show that is on everybody's lips.
My favorite show that I've ever experienced.
My favorite show of 2024.
Give it an Emmy. The fact that we are two episodes in and we have people yelling at each other about titty twisters who are in their 40s. Come on. You can't make this up.
So I think I have an unpopular opinion about the titty twist.
Tell me.
So for those protecting their mental health and not watching The Valley, Kristen drunkenly like gave this guy, one of the guys on the cast, what is his name? I'm pulling it up right
Jesse.
Now. Jesse, yes. Gave Jesse like a titty twister, like, and then he, you know, twisted her titty back.
Just now, like sexual harassment at every turn.
Full sexual harassment. But I do agree that it's different between a man and a woman doing it. But at the same time, I'm like, Kristen, like if I was Jesse's partner and actually liked being around him and I saw her do that to him, I would be like, okay, can we like not do that? Like, it's just like not. Like, so
it's so inappropriate.
It's so inappropriate. I'm not saying everyone, please don't piece this together. I'm not saying she deserved to get titty twisted. I'm just saying, no, but like, you also shouldn't have done that too.
Why are we touching our friend's partner's nipples to begin with? It's even not, in jest.
It's just, it's, I don't find that funny. Like,
I don't either.
I think his name's Luke or Jason. Jason. Luke is the gay. Jason is the one married to Janet.
No, Zach is gay.
No, who's the one married to Janet, though?
Oh, Jason.
Jason. Jason was like, I have like really sensitive nipples. Like, I would be really mad if someone did that to me. And I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't touch people's bodies. Like, it's just not, like, you, Kristen and Jax, like, live in this world where, like, no body part is off limit.
No body part. No.
No person. No person is off limit.
Yeah, exactly. No one is safe, sweetie. Yeah. Jason and Janet are like the most normal people on the show. The only thing about Janet that like I don't want to like is the fact that like she's like sort of floated around this circle of people for years and years. And anyone who does that, I just am always like, you're angling to be on TV, right? Because these people aren't like actually good enough friends that you would genuinely want to hang out with them without wanting to be on TV. I'm just always like kind of like side eye. You know what I mean?
I think, yes. But I think off camera, that group can be a bit intoxicating. Like they're fun. They're probably fun to be around because they're down to like, just like really have a good time. Yeah.
They're just alcoholics.
And if you're like on a weekend and you're like, I kind of want to like have a full day today. Like you call them.
I've been feeling that. It's what I like to call silly goose season, like the beginning of spring into summer, yep. Spring, summer, September, yep. Joggers. I just want to be day drunk on a patio, like looking hot with a tan, like every fucking day.
Yeah, I feel that. Like we have an Easter party on Sunday and I took off work on Monday because I'm like, I think I'm going to like have some wine.
That's so fun. And like, I don't have like the bank account currently or like really, I have a lot of like one-on-one friendships here in LA, but I don't have like a crew like that. And like, that's something I really miss this time of year.
Okay, so do you see like if you are in the Valley
and you're Janet, and you're kind of like
like Bobo Stassi Schroeder and you're like, I don't know if I'm gonna get onto one of these shows, but these people are fun to be around. I kind of see it.
You make a really good point. Also, I have to say, not to take us off the titty twister conversation, we can circle back if you want to, but I have always had such a visceral reaction to Britney. They were like, oh, like I hated everything about her. Yeah. But this era she's in now where she just shits on Jax all the time because she got what she wanted. She got the house. She got the baby. She's doing the thing. I think she's hilarious. I'm really enjoying her this season. And I'm like, I would love to do a tequila shot with her. And I've never felt this way in my entire life.
I agree. She's more likable in this setting because she's not having to stand up for Jax at all. So she's just existing and just being like Brittany from Kentucky.
Yeah, just being like a country bumpkin.
She is a Beverly Hills hillbilly, literally.
She is. And she like leans in and I find it to be like really funny. And it's like, I don't know that I would ever want to like be actual friends with her. But like if I ran into her out at a bar, I would be so excited and like ask her to do a tequila shot with me.
I know what you mean. She was hunkered down at that girls' night in that romper, looking like she was sitting on like a bucket of beer. She was like in this like nice romper, legs open, heels up. Just like mainlining nachos and being like, girl, hey, y'all, Kristen, just relax, Kristen, please.
With her frowny face being like, Jax wants to be his friend. He's trying to bring people together. In these like black feathered heels that she's worn since 2016. I've seen her wear them a million times. And like, she's a sustainable queen.
So sustainable. I'm sure the children that made those Fashion Nova shoes agree.
They're like, oh my gosh, they went to a good cause. Britney's TV appearances.
We haven't talked about the Valley yet on this here podcast that we're on currently. And I would like to just kind of go through the couples, talk generally about like our thoughts on them, kind of where the drama is landing with them. So let's talk about, I think, the kind of the sleepiest couple, but they seem very, I really like both of them. But they're kind of not bringing a ton of heat so far, and that is Daniel and Nia.
Mm-hmm.
Nia is mesmerizing to me. Like, she is beautiful.
Yeah, she's gorgeous and very boring.
She's so boring. But when she said that she, like, put that man in a headlock who tried to touch her at the Miss America pageant around Donald Trump, I was like, wait, I'm obsessed with you.
I really do like her very like gentle, like earth mother vibe where she's like, oh, I just pumped for my three children under 2 years old.
Yep.
And then the fact that she does like jujitsu and can like beat somebody up is like really fun. The juxtaposition of the two.
And also relatable queen. She's like downing a huge ass margarita at that girl's night. I was like, oh, you are fun.
She's like, I just pumped. What's up? I'm like, okay. Yeah. I feel like she's someone who I would want to hang out with when she's like, oh, that sounds fucked up. But like when she's a little buzz, I want to see her like get a little loose. Like, woo.
Yeah, I know. No, I know what you mean. Like, I think that she's like more than just like a beauty pageant girl, you know, like she's like, I think actually like a fun time. Yeah. I think she needs to get more comfortable on the show though. Like, I think it's clear that she's trying to kind of figure out how to be on camera in this way.
Yeah, I want her to up the energy a little bit. Even if it's just making, she might not be a confrontational person, but like, that's okay. I think we need someone who's like down to make like funny side comments and sort of be the Greek chorus. I think her and Daniel, I could see that journey for them.
Yeah, I agree. Daniel seems very nice for someone who's grown up in Hollywood, supposedly.
He has such a douchey face. I really thought he was going to be like the biggest piece of shit on the show. And he's kind of just like, hey guys. And like, he's kind of giving, who's the yellow dinosaur from Barney? BJ? Like the one with the little hat and the Converse. Like that's Daniel's energy.
Agreed. They have a similar fashion sense as well.
Totally.
Next we have, so we talked about Janet and Jason a little bit. Jason, I am deeply attracted to.
He's so cute.
He is so cute. And he's a lawyer, I believe.
Yes, he's a lawyer. He like doesn't need the show. No. And he's like very much just kind of like, hey, guys. And he's like, I love how he like is hot. So he like presents like he's going to be as bro-y as the other guys. But he's like bad at hockey and like is really obsessed with Janet and like doesn't really do anything wrong. Like, I just really like his vibe.
I really like him, too. And I like Janet a lot. And we were talking about her before. But my only issue with her... I just hate that we have to get to know her pregnant. Like, I want, like, I
How
want...
How dare she?
No, I just mean, like, the timing of that. Like, I think I just wanted, like, to get to know her, like, how she got to know this group as, like, a... Because if you're friends with Kristen, you're a little crazy.
You're a little cuckoo banana.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I agree. I think that she'll really bring it in season two.
I agree.
Because I think if she's this fun and like likable now, then like once we get a few drinks in her and she doesn't have to deal with like the physical discomfort of being pregnant, I think it's going to be like really fun to watch.
Yeah, totally. I just don't know that like for instance, like Eva Marcel came on to Atlanta and she was pregnant on her first season. And it's like,
yeah,
she don't, and even just even when you know housewives, there's very few housewives that can like navigate the pregnant season and still be funny. Like Bethany is was hilarious television pregnant.
Yeah.
But then there's some housewives that just like, because your body is doing one of the most insane, miraculous things, like you don't really, you shouldn't be in the high stress scenario of filming a reality show, right?
Totally. Totally.
That was Janet and Jason. And then let's move on to, let's talk about Kristen and, what's his name? Alex? No, Alex is the old
Luke.
Luke. So, well, we got eyes on Alex this past week, and Alex is really ugly.
Why started dating, I was like, huh, yeah.
That, because I think Luke is cute.
Luke is cute, and I feel really bad for him because I just think of him as this, like, sweetie that's being, like, bullied by, like, the older kids on the playground. We have a lot of school analogies this episode, but, like, that is the vibe, though.
I know. No, I agree. It is the vibe. Like, he is just, like, a very nice boy from Denver, and I don't know how he came about to finding Kristen. Obviously, I mean, it was at a wedding, I guess. But it just sounds like a wedding romance that should have never come to fruition. Like, I can't believe that's how, like, we've all fucked someone at a wedding and nothing ever comes of it.
But no, Kristen, and it's always really like awkward when they're like, hey, let's keep in touch. And you're like, oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Please, no. I beg of you, no.
Please, no. I'm embarrassed that we even did this. Never bring it up to anyone again. No, I feel like, yeah, I mean, I do feel like nice guys tend to like cuckoo girls.
That's 1,000% true.
My fiance Jake is really nice and I'm pretty cuckoo. So like, shout out to him.
Shout out.
But I do feel
honestly,
like,
same with me. I'm cuckoo. I'm the cuckoo girl.
every relationship has a cuckoo girl. Okay. But I feel like, I don't know. I feel like maybe it's just so mismatched that it could work. And I am like rooting for them. I mean, I think like, Kristen, like, really, I hope she's healed enough of her shit between Alex and Luke that, like, her and Luke could go the distance. I do think them trying to have a baby together when he doesn't even, like, live in the same state as her is, like, maybe not a decision I would make.
It's different.
But I think
it's
different. It's modern, okay? But
especially since he's literally only living here to film a show with you.
Yeah, and, like, maybe record a podcast sometimes.
Probably.
But, like, I just don't think it's Jax's business to like get in the middle of it and to fuck things up. Do you think they're secretly in love? Is that what you were gonna say?
I think they're meant for each other.
they're so fucking nuts. They
would have the most insane relationship. But I think deep down Jax loves her. Like I think I don't know that Kristen feels that way about him, but there are times where I'm like, Jax wishes he was with crazy Kristen. Who would just like they could get in a screaming match and be okay.
They're like Nate and Cassie from Euphoria.
Exactly that. Like they thrive. They both thrive off conflict. But
yeah.
Like Brittany does not thrive off conflict. So, and I don't think Brittany is as turned on by conflict as Kristen is. Like Kristen will fuck regardless. Like
that's true.
It doesn't matter what the situation is. She'll fuck. And Jax kind of needs that. You know?
Oh my God. I think they should just swap because I think Brittany probably just needs a nice, chill boy like Luke that's
you're
like so ready to settle down and like have kids.
You're absolutely right. They just need to do a full partner swap. And I think
we
would
need
be,
to parent trap them. Yeah.
Like it's kind of like the ultimatum on Netflix. That's kind of the premise.
Yes.
Like you just swap partners and then you get married to the other partner. I completely agree. But
and Kristen's ex really sucks. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, I just had a flashback to like, what was it? Season like 6 of VPR in this past episode of The Valley when Carter took Kristen to like the hibachi place and she had a meltdown. No, not Carter. It was actually Sandoval.
Yeah,
took
she's
her
like,
to
I
the...
don't like cabbage and I don't like stew.
I'm a lifetime vegetarian and you took me to a hibachi restaurant. All I can do is drink white wine. So that's what I'm going to be doing. And then
I know
that happened with them at the steakhouse and she ordered an Arnold Palmer with vodka and like, I'm sure had 20.
And she was happy as a clam.
Yeah.
She
and then went running on Runyon Canyon after. I was like, I would vomit. Like I can't drink alcohol and then go do anything.
Absolutely not.
Besides
it's
walk to
curtains.
Another bar.
Exactly. And then I'm going to bed, maybe ordering food if I'm feeling crazy. I just want to say too, sorry, going back to her ex-boyfriend, I didn't like that he like shat on her for getting fired from the show, but then at the first opportunity came on her new show. I thought that was really icky.
I agree. I think it's bizarre. And
it's really weird.
And for all intents and purposes, bro, like you were with a television star. Like,
yeah.
Kristen was on a show for 10 years. Like, not many people can say that. So, like, even though she was on the show and probably making pennies and, like, you know, showing her ass, she still, like, has something. Like, I don't think that's nothing. Call me crazy.
No.
Right?
No. No. And I'm just like, it's interesting to me that it's like, okay, you seem to have no problem aligning yourself with her when she's on TV.
Right.
Then the second she got fired, which by the way, she should have gotten fired. It was for a valid reason. Yeah. Absolutely. But like to conveniently find your way back to her the second she's back on TV is like so transparent and like embarrassing to me. You're a loser for that.
Completely. Do you wish there was a little explanation about the firings?
Yes.
Like, I'm not saying apologies, just like on the show, even just that, like, what happened?
Yes. I think it's wild that they haven't said anything. She's like, you know, when everything crashed and burned, I'm like, when you got fired
for being calling the
cops on a black woman. Yes.
Yeah. It's very interesting, too, about how the show also is kind of like built on this premise of like 1950s, like, housewife's like smiling, like, oh my god, we're perfect, you know what I mean?
Totally.
It's like such a bizarre shift from the reason these people got fired from their 10-year-old job.
No, it's fucking wild.
It's just kind of, it's crazy, we're just kind of letting it go away.
No, I feel like that's just like the name of the Bravo game, though, is like is. Someone will do something insanely fucked up and they'll be like, oh my God, that's so crazy, squirrel. And they'll like launch something else and everyone will be like, where? And then we'll just forget.
I know. And like Andy has said before, like, I wish we had let these people like learn about why they fucked up in real time.
Mm-hmm.
But then like you mount shows with them and don't acknowledge it. I guess I just don't really understand where, you know, your intentions lie. But actually, they are transparent. Their intentions are in the form of money because they want to make money.
I was going to say, to make money and virtue signal when it's convenient for them and then continue to make more money.
I've turned on Bravo HQ in the past couple of years and the way they just like, it is so clear mm-hmm. that, especially with all the stuff with Ramona, like it's so clear that you only care about the money. Like, so why acknowledge, like, why even honestly acknowledge racism?
Just be pieces of shit then.
Yeah. I know. It's just crazy to me. Like, you acknowledge it for what reasons? Like, you right. still put up the shows.
Exactly. It's like, but you're not actually changing anything like long-term big picture.
No.
Cause they also know that for their shows to work, they have to hire terrible people.
Yeah.
But they're not willing to make the boundary. It's like terrible up until when? Like they keep moving the line of like what it is that they won't tolerate.
Correct. The line changes depending on if you're a man, woman, your race. Like
exactly.
Everyone has different parameters. Like I remember yeah. during COVID, I don't remember if you remember this, but in an episode of Atlanta, like the COVID season of Atlanta, Kenya Moore wore like a very insensitive Native American mm-hmm. garb. People eviscerated her like beyond belief when Luann de Lesseps was in blackface on television and they aired it and didn't even really acknowledge it. And also like has made insanely like just awful remarks about, she's like talked about like Native American stuff and done like Native American garb as well. And it's like, you held this black woman to like an unrealistic stand, like
right.
not unrealistic, but just like an unfair standard as you did like a white 100%. Rich woman on the Upper East Side. It's just,
and Luann's like, well, I am Native American. So I'm like,
We're all a little Native American because everyone is fucking disgusting. All of our ancestors and did fucked up stuff. So
like, but I'm like, okay, so then you should know better than to do these stereotypical, you know, quote impressions of what a Native American sounds like or acts like.
Right. Like, I don't know. But that was just an example that came up in my brain of like the way these double standards work. But
yeah,
The Valley is the best show on television. So
with that being said, we got to talk about,
well, let's talk about Jax and Brittany. And then I want to end on the douche canoe that is Jesse, that I have a feeling you're deeply attracted to.
That
I have a feeling you're deeply attracted to him.
I hate that you knew it.
Yeah, I did. It's okay. Let's talk about him.
So, I just want to say, okay, go ahead.
Jesse and Michelle. Now, Michelle hates Jesse in a way I've never seen someone hate their partner on television, right?
She could kill him tomorrow and I would be like, yeah, I saw that coming.
Yeah.
She's full like, he had it coming.
Completely. And now for you, I'm going to see if I can read the situation. Is Jesse a guy that you would have been like, no, like, I'm different. Like, I'm going to fix him.
Ow, you hurt me when you said that.
I have tried to fix so many. Okay. So this is coming from a fixer.
So specifically in my 20s, I'm going to bring the mood down for a second. Right after my mom passed away, my confidence was like in the trash can and I was in a very dark place. And I would go after the most terrible, toxic people I could find. Yeah. Truly. And Jesse would have been one of them. Like, I look at him and I zeroed in on him and I'm like, he is someone who I would have tried to hook up with in my 20s when I was at my lowest, and if I was successful, he would have treated me so bad and I would have let it go on for so fucking long.
Yeah. I was in a relationship with one of those for 2 years. So I'm definitely familiar with the cycle. See,
he would never even want to date me. He would just have sex with me like from time to time. And I'd be like, I'll be right there. Like, it's so dark and sad.
When you're in it, you like don't realize
it's intoxicating.
Yeah, I know.
And the fact that they like giveth and taketh away, then you're like, oh my God, like I'm so in. This is just us being passionate. And it's like, no, babe. Like, he fucking doesn't care if you live or die. And like, he actually probably like hates you. But when he was in that, now that being said, when he was in that hockey outfit, I responded.
He looked hot.
And he was like good at hockey, which was like hot to me.
Yeah, it's also like a wild sport to play in Los Angeles outside and sweatshirts.
It was so weird. Right? It was so random. And like, it wasn't like ice hockey. It was like on rollerblades. I was like, is this 90s? Like, are we in Saved by the Bell right now?
Yeah, it was like Brink.
It was full Brink.
Right?
Full skaters.
Now, that scene was hilarious to me because Jax, Nita, we not forget. He made this whole storyline about he was going to go like manage a hockey team in Florida and was going to change his life. Do you remember that? In Tampa?
Yes, he's like,
Orlando.
It was all these like vague things. He's like, social media management, team management, finance, hockey. Like, he was just naming phrases of what the job was. And we were like, what are you talking about?
And to see him play like a true, like,
fool. Like, Jason was better than Jax.
And it's hard to have a Jax and a Jason because Jason is Jax's, you know, surname. That he tries to forget, you know?
Jason Couchy, his dead name.
His dead name. Speaking of Couchy, did you see that Brittany removed Couchy from her Instagram?
Slay. I love this era for Brittany. And sometimes I like hate listen to their podcast and she's always like, what are you talking about, Max? And like, Hannah, now that they're separated. Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Once they got separated, I was like, I need to know like how they're handling this. But like, they're still fully recording together and she just like shits on him all the time. And it's like pretty funny.
So let's talk about them. So like, where do we go? Like, do you believe that they like are actually separated or do you think it's show?
It's really hard to say.
Like, is it a long game so they can get people to want to watch this show?
Okay, that seemed like the obvious choice, but also they're not very smart.
See, okay, I agree with you that they're stupid people, and I don't think they have the tools to create a long game like that.
Yeah, but they do have a PR team who might.
Do PR teams really like get into the nitty gritty like that?
I don't know. Or do they just say like, hey, we got you this write up in whatever. I don't know. But I could also like, I also feel like Brittany is a very like, at the end of the day, like a traditional Christian Kentucky woman.
Yeah.
And would she want to publicly drag her relationship for the sake of a show? And I don't know if she would.
I don't think she would, because especially being a mom and she wants to have another baby and like there's a lot on the line for her. And it feels like for Jax, like there's nothing on the line.
No. From what I've heard, word on the street is he's always at his bar hanging out.
He looks it.
No shit.
He don't look great.
What I think is interesting about all these people on both the shows we've discussed today is before, like, they will spend so much money on fillers and Botox, like mm-hmm. fully warping their faces before they consider like drinking water and putting the vodka down.
It's crazy to me.
And like getting 8 hours of sleep a night. Like they would never change their lifestyle for the sake of looking hotter. They'll just continue to get like Groupon fillers.
I know. Why? Like in the end, like your skin is, the fillers will stay and your skin will deteriorate around the fillers. Like,
and then they just get more. Some of the work that these people have gotten done is I'm like, it's getting Groupon. I'm like, where did you go?
Jax and Britt need to seek new doctors because the trout mouth is tough. It's tough. And she's talked about it. She's like, I had a bad reaction to my fillers and like it lost like feeling in parts of my lip or something. So that's why her mouth hangs down. Because if you watch the Vanderpump After show, her mouth is like back to normal-ish.
Oh, God.
But Miss Kentucky, she didn't want some fillers because everyone gave fillers. What's these fillers people put in their faces? My Meemaw never heard of something like fillers before. She never taught me about fillers.
Her and Meemaw look exactly the same.
Completely.
Like they have the same fucking face.
No, Meemaw is dead, unfortunately. But that's not her mom.
She passed away?
I think Meemaw passed away. Because they made a whole post about the beer cheese. Meemaw is her grandmother, but her mom was in this episode for like a second. But her mom
is like running in the background.
Her mom is a deplorable human who is like deeply QAnon,
homophobic.
So homophobic. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Terrible.
Well, Hannah, before we let you go, I just want some quick thoughts on Carl and Lindsay in the summer house and how you're liking that season. Because I think this is a return to form for them.
I'm having such a good fucking time this season.
It's a blast.
We're having a blast. Silly Goose season being ushered in by all these great Silly Goose shows.
You know
what?
That is giving me the Silly Goose itch.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing them like have martinis like on a Thursday night and a big pizza. And then they like go to a bar for a little bit after. And that sounds nice.
And it really like, as someone who's been in a relationship for a long time and is like getting married, being able to like vicariously live through these like hot young people having crushes on each other and fucking around is really fun.
I completely agree. I'm in a similar spot. I mean, I'm not getting married, but like Brian and I have been together for quite a while and it's like,
exactly.
I don't do the fun shit anymore, which I'm happy to. I've done a lot of fun shit, but sometimes you look at it, you're like, oh, I could use a day.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, I'm no longer in the phase of life where I'm like trying to fuck Jesse at like some disgusting bar in River North in Chicago. But like, I can watch, you know, West and Sierra like cuddle on a couch and be like, and like
so
canoodling
fun.
And be like, oh, you kids, you keep me young. I love you so much.
I love you so much. Now, have you been a Lindsay person forever? Like, would you identify as a hub house or no?
I feel like I'm not really a stan of anyone on these shows. Like, I feel like my allegiance is always kind of like ebb and flow depending on the season.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of sympathy for her in previous seasons because, again, as a cuckoo girl, I'm like, I think she is well-meaning a lot of the time, but her delivery is a fucking disaster. And I'm also a Leo, so I understand having big feelings and strong feelings about loyalty, et cetera.
Yeah.
And when Carl broke the wedding off, I was like, what a fucking asshole. And when I heard her on the Vile Files talk about it, I was like, totally Team Lindsay. But then watching how this season is playing out, I'm like, oh my God, Carl, like, thank God you broke things off. Because like the fact that either of them thought that this was at all normal and either of them thought that getting married was a good idea is like beyond me.
Yeah, it's really hard to watch. And not that Nick Viall is like our king and our Lord and Savior, but
no.
He made a good point.
I hate when he does that.
I agree. I hate when he does it too. But he made a point that I don't listen. I just see like the trades talk about stuff.
Yeah.
A clip went up about him talking about how bamboozled he felt by Lindsay.
I need to find this.
He was like, she came on the show and I was like, oh my God, Carl's such a piece of shit. Like, I can't believe he did this to you. Like all this. And then watching the show back, he's like, I feel like she just lied to us. Like she either lied or she has no self. she has like no awareness of what's going on, because like it's so hard to watch her try and navigate this relationship on camera. I would have dumped her too.
Yeah. I know. And sorry, you go ahead.
There you go.
Just the fact that she keeps like throwing like his sobriety like in his face is like
awful.
So gross and unforgivable to me.
Especially when she's like belligerent.
Yeah. And she's like, mincing his words, be like, what do you mean? Like, I'm sober right now. Like, what does that mean right now? And he's like, as in like, I wasn't drinking tonight and you're wasted. And she's like, you want some water? Like the way she like growls in his face when she's hungover and or wasted is just like so unbecoming and toxic and like not good.
And I think, you know, I'm not here to diagnose anyone with anything, but like, she was an awesome version of herself when she wasn't drinking. And like, I think she struggles with the boundaries on it, you know? Like there are some people that can really just like Paige, like has fun and goes out and stuff, and then and doesn't fight when she's drinking. She doesn't like, no. She fights more when she's just like in bed, like texting mean shit to people.
She's so scary, but like, I love watching her. I really turned on her in a for the better. Like I used to be like triggered by her, but now I'm enjoying her.
I like her too. No, but I don't know. I just want Lindsay to get to the bottom of that, because like what's happening on the show, what we're watching is not working, but also something else that
a deeper issue.
Totally. It's something else that I always find troubling when friends of mine do this as well. When she created that list, that timeline a couple of years ago, you cannot force, you can manifest things for yourself, but manifesting doesn't mean you force things to happen on the people around you. No. Because you manifested it. That's actually not manifesting. You're just like forcing people to follow your manifestations. And so I know it has to be so hard to want children and be a woman and be in the culture where it's so hard to do it. It's nearly impossible to do it on your own. The world works against you with how your clock works, with like how old you can be to have children. And it's just like that part, I have so much, my heart goes out to all women dealing with that, because it's awful. Mm-hmm. And the pressures of it, are societal pressures on that side of things, is tough too. But seeing her push timelines on all of her relationships, it's like your relationships are bound to crumble because you push and push. You force them to think that you are their life partner because you want things out of it.
I know. It kind of reminds me of when like Aubrey O'Day and Pauly D were on that E! Show, like Famously Single or whatever.
Exactly,
and Aubrey
like
just
that.
Kept being like, and you're in love with me. And you're in love with me. You're in love with me. You're in love with me. And eventually he was like, yeah, I guess we're dating now. Where it's like, huh?
Huh?
Like, how did we... that never worked for me. It is really frustrating to watch, because I'm just like, Lindsay, if you were honest with yourself, there's no way you would think that this relationship was actually going to be the thing that got you to all these things that you say you want, like getting married and kids. Like, this is not it. This isn't sustainable.
It's not sustainable. And the list of things that you, the timeline, a lot of it would have fallen into place, I think, if you had just let things happen.
You need to just let things happen.
You can't move in with people that quickly. You can't, all of that. You know, Danielle's delivery last season was awful. Awful.
She was so fucking
so
annoying.
But she's
really
not
embarrassing.
But the problem, where I was frustrated with her is like, your points are correct. Your delivery is terrible. So you're not getting through to her.
I know. I was like, no, babe, like screaming into a pillow does not like up your ethos. Like, you need to like collect yourself.
Correct.
And be like, guys, here's why I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Bullet, bullet, bullet. Take it or leave it.
I completely agree.
It's a great season, though. I'm having so much fun. Also, really here for like Jesse, Solomon, and Craig, like passive aggressively, like throwing out at each other.
Jesse is someone I would have fixed, and he would have ruined me.
Same.
West is someone I would have never thought should go for, and then fell in love with him and written about him in my journal at home.
Yeah, Wes would be someone who, like, a year later when he, like I would have met him, like, the summer prior. And then a year later, if he started dating Sierra, I would have been like, oh, wait, like, Wes is actually, like, really hot.
He's hot in a weird way. He's not, for me, like, on paper.
I don't like blonde guys.
His swag is insane. No, it's, I mean, it's fine. I don't like blonde guys either.
It is true though. It's the swag, it's his style, and also like any guy that you can like meet mop with, as my friends and I call it, which is like he just like will yes and with you at a party and like you can just joke and flirt like all the time. Mm-hmm. That's like a very cute, like intoxicating energy to me.
That's a wonderful term for that.
Yeah, shout out to my friend Shayna. She's like meet mop.
You do need people that you can meet mop with, you know?
And he's a perfect all my best friends I can meet mop with. No, he's so a like in a romantic partner. Yeah, he's like peak meet mop.
I also feel like, and we'll wrap in 1 second, but I also feel like he is a long lost sibling of mine. Like he kind of looks like Kix and I, and he also like kind of talks like there's things he does where I'm like, wait, if there was a straight version of Kix and I think it might be you.
Oh my God. You're going to have like, I'm sorry to bring up Parent Trap again. Like if your dad is my dad and my mom is your mom with West, you're going to have like a moment where you realize you're separated at birth.
He feels like
you all live in New York.
The smallest brother that like we didn't ever have.
Yes.
Like, can you imagine if Kix and I had a baby straight brother? I feel like he'd act just like him. I know.
You need to find him and befriend him.
I do. I think I can make that happen. I also want to be on Summer House, to be honest with you. So I should just be friends with someone.
I mean, do what Janet did. Play the long game. Get day drunk with them enough years in a row that eventually the opportunity just sort of naturally presents itself.
You know, I should do that. Shuts the computer, runs out to a bar and tries to find West. Jesse Sullivan.
I really want to go to New York and like... Please, manifest Hannah, hanging out with please. You guys and the cast of Summer House. Please. I need my wedding to be over so that Jake and I can just do like stupid weekend trips for no reason.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Wrap it up, okay? Come on.
In the immortal words of Lala Ken, can we wrap it up? Can we wrap it up?
Well, on that, Hannah, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Tom. It's always such an honor. And hi, Kixie, wherever you are.
Wherever you are, Kixie, we miss you. No, she's not watching Bravo these days. It's just not fulfilling her spirit, you know?
I love that for her. Boundary queen.
She is a boundary queen, honestly. We could all take some notes on boundaries from Kixie. Totally. Well, Hannah, tell everyone. I didn't really do a full proper intro, so tell everyone where they can follow you and about the pod and all that stuff.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. Y'all can follow me at Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter, Hannah A. Brown Zero on TikTok, where I fancy myself a hot girl anthropologist and I dive into all things hot girl related. Mm-hmm. And you can check out my podcast, You Know You Love Us, which I co-host with my friend Tyler Meredith.
Yes, we love all things Hannah. She nails every market she's in, and she is a superstar on TikTok these days. It's crazy.
Oh my God, thank you.
You found that little niche, and it's like genius. It's really genius.
Thank you so much. We're trying to run with it. We'll see where it goes.
Okay, say bye to everyone. Bye.
Bye.
That's another ep in the books. Make sure to follow me at Tom Hamlet on Instagram. And you can follow Kix.
At Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X. And make sure to follow the pod on IG at Dumpster Dive Pod. And on TikTok at 2DumpsterDivas.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us and all the pods you love on your favorite app of choice. And we will see y'all soon.
Bye. Bye.